Music Doodoo Classical Bedtime presents Erin Copeland and the sound of wide open spaces. Imagine a street so crowded you can't see the sidewalk. Streetcars clanging, neighbours hollering from windows. Five children squeezed into one tiny apartment above a grocery store. That was Erin's world. But in his head, in his imagination, he was hearing something completely different. A place where the wind didn't hit a single building for 1,000 miles. A place where the sky went on forever. This music you're hearing right now? That's what Erin heard inside himself. The sound of wide open spaces, born in the most crowded place he knew. Erin Copeland was born in 1900 in Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn was a symphony of too much. It smelled of pickles from the deli and coal smoke from the chimneys. It sounded like iron wheels on cobblestones and babies crying through thin walls. Erin's parents were Jewish immigrants from Russia. They ran a little department store on Washington Avenue. Erin was the youngest of five children, always underfoot, always listening. This boy, who would grow up to paint the American prairie in sound, he'd never even seen a prairie. He lived in the middle of a giant togetherness, so it's a miracle he learned to write the music of loneliness and space. Started piano lessons when he was 11, later than most composers. His older sister taught him at first, but soon young Erin was hungry for more. He'd walk to the Brooklyn Public Library and check out stacks of musical scores, pages covered in tiny black notes. He studied them like treasure maps, trying to crack the code of how great composers made their magic. And when he was 20 years old, Erin did something incredibly brave. He sailed across the Atlantic Ocean, all by himself, to Paris, France. He wanted to study with the most famous music teacher in the whole world. Her name was Nadia Boulanger. Nadia Boulanger was tiny and fierce. Musicians travelled from every corner of the earth to learn from her. And she was tough. She once told a student, "That chord is as ugly as a hat at the wrong angle." But Nadia saw something special in the young man from Brooklyn. And one day, she asked him a question that changed everything. "You are American," she said, peering at him through her spectacles. "But you write music that sounds German, that sounds French. Tell me, Monsieur Copeland, what does American music sound like?" Erin didn't know how to answer. Nobody did. He realised he was wearing a musical suit that didn't fit him. He had to go home and sew a new one, out of folk songs and starlight. Aaron sailed back to America with a mission. He was going to find that sound. And he started looking in unexpected places. Not in fancy concert halls, not in opera houses. He listened to cowboys singing around campfires, those long, lonely songs they sang to calm the cattle at night. He collected fiddle tunes from mountain people in Appalachia. He studied hymns that the Shakers sang, simple, beautiful melodies about living a good life. And he discovered something magical. Think of music notes like people. In the city, everyone stands shoulder to shoulder on a crowded subway car. That music sounds tight and busy, notes squeezed together, bumping elbows. But Aaron took those notes and moved them far, far apart. He left empty space between them, big gaps of air and sky. It's the musical version of taking a deep breath after being in a crowded room. Those big jumps between notes, musicians call them wide intervals, are the secret recipe for the American sound. In this next piece, listen for those jumps. It's like a bird flying from one mountain peak to another, with nothing but endless blue air in between. Did you hear those wide open spaces between the notes? Like standing under a big night sky, watching the stars appear one by one. Aaron had found it. The American sound. Music that felt like freedom. Music that felt like possibility. In 1942, Aaron wrote a whole ballet called Rodeo. It's about cowboys and cowgirls at a ranch out west, riding horses, chasing cattle, and showing off their skills. And at the end of the ballet, a big party called a hoedown. A hoedown is a country dance where everyone swings their partners and stomps their boots on the wooden floor. Aaron took a real American fiddle tune and turned it into an orchestral explosion of joy. Now, this next piece is very different from the peaceful music you just heard. It's fast and bouncy and full of energy. Can you feel that rhythm in your imagination? Like a heartbeat that wants to dance. Here it comes, the famous hoedown. Can you picture dusty boots on a wooden floor? Fiddles soaring away? Dancers spinning under lantern light. This music makes you feel like anything is possible. Like you could ride a horse across the plains or build a house with your own two hands. That's what Aaron wanted. Music that belonged to everyone. Not just kings and queens in fancy palaces. And then came 1942. The world was at war. World War II was a terrible, frightening time. Young men and women left their families to fight in faraway places. People planted gardens and saved every scrap of metal to help the soldiers overseas. Everyone was scared, but everyone kept going. A conductor named Eugene Goossens had an idea. He asked American composers to write fanfares, short, bold pieces for brass instruments, to play at the start of concerts. Music to lift people's spirits. Do you know what a fanfare is? Think of trumpets announcing a king. That bright, brassy sound that makes everyone sit up and pay attention. Most composers wrote fanfares with important-sounding titles. Fanfare for the Fighting Forces, or Fanfare for Airmen. Titles about soldiers and heroes. But Aaron chose a different title. He called his piece Fanfare for the Common Man. The common man. Not generals, not presidents, just ordinary people. People like your neighbours. People like your family. People like you. Listen to how it begins. Those slow, heavy booms on the big drums, the timpani. Boom. 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 Do you hear it? That's the sound of a heartbeat. Your heartbeat. Steady and strong, even when you're scared. Even when things are hard. It keeps going. And then the brass instruments rise up. Trumpets and trombones and French horns. Simple and honest. Not showing off. Not trying to be fancy. Just telling the truth. Aaron said he wanted to honour the quiet heroes. The farmers growing food. The factory workers building planes. The mothers holding families together. The children doing their homework without complaining. The common man. The common woman. The steady heartbeat of courage in ordinary people. That's you. That's all of us. That fanfare became one of the most famous pieces of American music ever written. You've probably heard it before. At sports games, in movies, at celebrations, even if you didn't know its name. And the very next year, Aaron created another masterpiece, a ballet called Appalachian Spring. The story is simple and beautiful. A young bride and her husband are building their first home together. a little wooden farmhouse somewhere in the mountains of Pennsylvania. They're starting their new life, full of hope and maybe a little bit of fear. Have you ever started something new? A new school? A new friendship? A new home? Remember that feeling where everything is about to begin? That's what this music feels like. Dawn light creeping over the mountains, birds waking up, a new day, a new life. Listen to how the strings seem to stretch, like someone opening their arms wide to embrace the whole world. The notes float upward like morning mist rising from the valley. Can you feel all that space between the notes? All that room to breathe and grow? This is what hope sounds like. Near the end of the ballet, Aaron used a real American hymn, a song that the Shakers used to sing. The Shakers were a religious community who believed in living simply. They made beautiful, plain furniture with their own hands. They shared everything, and they sang. Their most famous song was called Simple Gifts. The words go like this. 'Tis the gift to be simple. 'Tis the gift to be free. Aaron took that one tiny tune and did something magical. He dressed it up in different outfits. First, it wears a quiet dress of strings, soft and shy. Then it puts on the sturdy work boots of the brass section, bold and proud. Then the whole orchestra joins in and it becomes a parade. Musicians call this theme and variations. You take one melody and show all the different things it can become, like watching a seed grow into a flower, then into a whole garden. Listen for that simple tune and hear how Aaron transforms it. Could you hear that melody growing? First a whisper, then bigger and bigger, like a flower opening in fast forward. Aaron Copland lived to be 90 years old. He wrote music for ballets, orchestras, and movies. He won every prize a composer can win. But more important than prizes, Aaron gave America a gift. He gave us our sound, the sound of who we are. A boy from the most crowded neighborhood in Brooklyn. A boy who had never seen a prairie or a mountain, imagined what it would feel like to stand in all that open space. And somehow, he got it exactly right. As you drift towards sleep tonight, maybe you can imagine your own wide open space. It doesn't have to be a prairie. It doesn't have to be a mountain. It can be the biggest room in your imagination. A place where the sky goes on forever. A place that feels like possibility. And remember what Aaron taught us. You don't have to be fancy to be magnificent. You don't have to be a general or a king. The common man, the common woman, the ordinary person who does their best every day. That's the real hero.